Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
One of the things that I, in some ways, lament about having two separate worship services. I really enjoyed over the summer, you know, we combine our worship services. That's a good thing in many ways. One of the negative things about combining services is it limits our opportunity for growth, right? This room only holds so many people. By having two services, we allow for more of that growth, right? But one of the things that I lament a little bit about having two different worship services is that in some ways we have two separate congregations. For instance, most of you probably don't know that last service we celebrated baptism. Now, maybe you read it in the bulletin, but we had a baptism, and it was beautiful. Jaden Hendrix Hong Lum, son of Lori and Art. Beautiful. Jaden just turned one last month, and he likes to play with the water. But one of the things that I lament is just we didn't all get the opportunity to participate in that. But part of that, you may remember, when it comes to having a baptism, that the congregation enters into that time of baptism by making a promise. One of the ways we talk about baptism is that God makes promises to that one who is being baptized. The one being baptized, or their parents, if it's a small child, make promises to live into the life of the church. But the congregation also makes a promise. I would invite you to think about the promise that perhaps was made on your behalf at the last service to support a family, to support a child in growing in a life of faith and light. But also as a part of that baptismal promise is a promise that reaffirms a commitment to the life of this congregation, not only through the family and toward the family that is experiencing the celebration of baptism, but also the recommitment to support the ministries of the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. When we celebrate baptism in a worship service, there is a part where the congregation all reads together, and the congregation reaffirms that commitment to support the ministries of the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. You see, that's stewardship. As we, as I mentioned earlier, we're in the month of October, and this is the time that this congregation traditionally explores ideas of stewardship. And it was interesting, the last 2 years have been those Octobers that have 5 Sundays in a month, and it was really easy in that time to take one Sunday for each, you know, the first Sunday prayers, and then presents, and then gifts, and then service, and then witness. We only have 4 Sundays this month, so we got to change it up. And that's an okay thing, because sometimes by changing it up, we can come to a fuller understanding by looking at something from a different perspective, by coming to new realizations, by studying things in new ways. So today is really going to be just a general overview about why stewardship? Why is it important? What does it mean? And I think a wonderful illustration for stewardship can be found in the very first creation story in the book of Genesis. And so I'd like to turn our attention to the book of Genesis as Janita reads. I confess, Janita didn't get a preparation for this. This is a long scripture. It's all of the first chapter of Genesis and then the first few verses of chapter 2. Hear these words and consider what stewardship might mean in the light of this story.
When God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters. God said, "Let there be light," and so light appeared. God saw how good the light was. God separated the light from the darkness. God named the light day and the darkness night. There was evening and there was morning, the first day. God said, let there be a dome in the middle of the waters to separate the waters from each other. God made the dome and separated the waters under the dome from the waters above the dome. And it happened in that way. God named the dome sky. There was evening and there was morning, the second day. God said, let the waters under the sky come together into one place so that the dry land can appear. And that's what happened. God named the dry land earth, and he named the gathered waters seas. God saw how good it was. God said, let the earth grow plant life, plants yielding seeds and fruits, trees bearing fruit with seeds inside, each according to its kind through the earth. And that's what happened. The earth produced plant life, plants yielding seeds, each according to its kind, and trees bearing fruit with seeds inside it, each according to its kind. God saw how good it was. There was evening, there was morning, the third day. God said, let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night. They will make events, sacred seasons, days, and years. They will be lights in the dome of the sky to shine on the earth. That's what happened. God made the stars and the two great lights, the larger light to rule over the day and the smaller light to rule over the night. God put it to them in the dome of the sky to shine on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. God saw how good it was. There was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. God said, let the waters swarm with living things, and let birds fly above the earth, up in the dome of the sky. God created the sea, animals, and all the tiny living things that swarm in the waters, each according to its kind, and all the winged birds, each according to its kind. God saw how good it was. Then God blessed them. Be fertile and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. There was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. God said, let the earth produce every kind of living thing, livestock, crawling things, and wildlife. And that's what happened. God made every kind of wildlife, every kind of livestock, and every kind of creature that crawls on the ground. God saw how good it was. Then God said, let us make humanity in our image to resemble us so that they may take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on earth. God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image of God created them. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and everything crawling on the ground. Then God said, I now give to you all the plants on the earth that yield seeds and all the trees whose fruits produces its seeds within it. These will be your food. To all wildlife, to all the birds in the sky, and to everything crawling on the ground, to everything that breathes, I give all the green grasses for food. And that's what happened. God saw everything he had made. It was supremely good. There was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. The heavens and the earth and all who live in them were completed. On the sixth day, God completed all the work that he had done. And on the seventh day, God rested from all the work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all the work of creation.
Do you see how, to me, this scripture, this story, speaks of stewardship. Verses 26 and 28 stand out to me. Verse 26 says this, God said, let us make humanity in our image to resemble us so that they may take charge of the fish and the sea, the birds and the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on the earth. We are created and then given this gift of creation. There's another verse in verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, be fertile and multiply, fill the earth and master it. Now, the English doesn't necessarily translate quite directly. Any of you who are bilingual understand that, you know, trying to translate directly one language to another doesn't always work. In the ancient Hebrew in which this is written, it's more about creation being given into our care. It's not about ownership. It's not about do whatever you want. It's about care for this gift of creation. The birds, the plants, the animals, the sky. Care for it. Take care of it. Nurture this gift. Now, the other thing that I read in this is that everything that exists was created by God. And we might say, well, what about this building? People built this building. Yeah, but it's built out of wood, fibers, cotton. Even the linoleum tile is built out of stuff that came out of the ground. Everything that exists is created by God, even if we manipulated that in some way. I don't mean that in a bad way, just added our own creative input to it. And even then, God created us. Can we agree that everything that exists ultimately comes from God? And if we agree on that, then it makes sense that everything that exists we should care for. It's been given into our care. We must be good stewards. We must be good caretakers because it doesn't belong to us. You know, particularly in this world, we have this sense of ownership, right? We have this sort of materialistic urge to own stuff. I do it too. I just got the new iPhone. I want it to be just mine. But everything that exists is given into our care so that we might be good stewards. We might be good caretakers. So why stewardship? What does stewardship mean? It means to care. It means to nurture. It means to lift up. It means to grow. Now, in the United Methodist tradition, we talk about stewardship with a particular list of words, and we've already said those words a couple of times in this service. One of the ways that we as United Methodists, as Wesleyans, think about stewardship is supporting the ministries of a faith community with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Sometimes we think about that as money. In the church where I grew up, I probably missed the point a bunch because I always got a little flustered about the annual stewardship campaign because it seemed like that month out of every year that the church was always asking for money. But I think I missed the point. I think I missed the point because it's not only about money. Yes, that part's important, but it's ever so much more. It is indeed about our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. So I'd like to explore those very briefly because as we think about our prayers, we might think about that as the times that we enter into a relationship with God. We might think about those as God conversations. And I hope you understand that anytime there's a conversation, it's not only important to say the things that you need to say, but it's also important to listen. If you have a family member, a loved one, a spouse with whom you have conversation, imagine how that person would react every time you talked. You did all the talking and then you left before you took time to listen. That'd be a pretty one-sided relationship. I don't believe that our relationship with God is supposed to be a one-sided relationship. But I would also say that God calls us into relationship. In the same way that God called light into being in the beginning and light responded, God calls us into relationship and we have the opportunity to respond. I would say that prayer is created by God in order for us to be in communion with God, in conversation with God. So that we might speak, but also so that we might listen. I believe it's important that we nurture that time, that we care for that time, perhaps that we prioritize that time. I was having a conversation with one of our members. This was a number of weeks ago. He was talking about the power of prayer. He uses the word meditation. I don't know if he would agree that they're the same thing. To me, they seem pretty connected. He talks about groups of people who would meditate in areas where there is conflict. And how even if the community doesn't know that that's happening, statistically there seems to be some kind of response. There's power in prayer, my friends. There's power in taking that time and nurturing that time, in that connection, in that speaking and in that listening. And that taking time to be holy. There's also the idea of presence. You've probably heard it before that some of the most important things that we do in our lives are simply showing up. I had a conversation with one member this morning who said that she was in a conversation with her spouse, who said, you know, sometimes I just want to be with you. She said, that feels like presence. That chance to be in community and connection with people. Maybe you have that group of people. Maybe it's a church group. Maybe it's a work group. Maybe it's an outside group. Whatever it is, where you just like to be with that group of people. It's my hope that this is one of those groups. Or that it could be. I believe that God calls us to be present in a community of faith. And that we have the opportunity to nurture that, to care for that, to enter into this community in authentic and open ways. Because I believe that we're changed in taking that time, in being present. Another way we talk about stewardship is in gifts. And yes, very often when we talk about gifts, we're talking about money. At the conclusion of our stewardship series in 3 weeks from today, it's our hope that you will have received your annual estimate of giving card, that you might write down an amount that you're willing to give to the ministries of this church, whether those things are designated in particular ways or to the general budget, which is generally pretty helpful. It could go to keeping the lights on or to feeding people on a regular basis or to being a presence at various community events from Pride to Christmas to anything else. One of the things you'll receive in the coming days, I hope, is a letter that invites you into a time of considering how that might look for you. And included in that will be this brochure that talks about how we might do that. It talks about methods of giving, whether that's automated and digitally or online, whether that's mailing in to the church or dropping a check in the offering plate with your envelope. It talks about things like stock and other charitable distributions, legacy gifts. It's all in this brochure that you'll receive in the mail. And one of the things that it says is to begin with prayer. You see, I think that when we think about giving our gifts to the church, when we think about giving our time to the church, when we think about giving our presence to the church, when we think about giving our service to the church, when we think about talking about the church to people who aren't here yet, we have to do so in prayer. But in terms of how that connects with this conversation about stewardship, I think when we think about those gifts, we must remember that all that stuff comes from God. And then in returning a portion of that in support of the ministries of this church is an important part of stewardship. Of course, another part of stewardship is service. In some ways, that might look like serving with our interfaith shelter network. It might look like helping out with our Wednesday evening community meal and other surrounding activities. It could have to do with participating with our fantastic musicians group. It could be sharing our gifts and skills with our technical ministries or our finance committee or our trustees or our staff parish relations committee. It could be sharing our opportunity for service in those ways. And it could be ways that we're not doing it yet, but we could. But in terms of those kinds of skills that we may have that we might be able to share, it's important that we nurture those skills and give them back in support of our faith community. Finally, we talk about witness. There are many ways that we are witnesses to the community. And sometimes those are in prayer, and sometimes those are in celebration, and sometimes those are in music, and sometimes those are in being in the community in various ways. I believe this church is a gift that we're called to nurture. And I wonder what it would look like if we talk about our church the same way that we talk about our favorite restaurant. Oh my gosh, I went to this Japanese place the other day and it was amazing. You got to try it. Did you see the latest Marvel movie? Oh, I'm so excited about what's going to happen next. My kids have this great soccer coach. He's really incredible with the kids. You should see what that's about. I went to this musical. Oh my gosh, the lead was so incredible. What if we talk about our faith that way? I read this book. Here, let me loan it to you. These are aspects of stewardship, supporting the ministries of our church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. I believe that we must nurture all these things that are gifts to us so that we might follow God's call. Now, this is just a general overview of stewardship. We're going to be talking about this in a little bit more detail over the coming weeks, and I'm going to use a book as a reference, and I want you to know about what this book is. If you want to get this book, great. If you don't want to get this book, that's fine too. But this is a book by Professor Clayton Christensen. He's a professor from the Harvard Business School, and the book is entitled, How Will You Measure Your Life? So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to take a little bit of time to look at stewardship through that lens. How will you measure your life? Part of what we're going to do is I'm going to have some resources that are available. They're going to be available on our website. If you're familiar with our website, that's a good place to look. In the regular place where I always put sermon notes every single week is where you'll find these resources that'll have some questions. I invite you, if you're part of one of our groups that get together to explore those sermon notes each week, to have that conversation. But if you're not a part of one of those groups, get together with some people. Whether you get the book or not, you can still use these resources and get together and explore. How will you measure your life, and what does it mean for us as a faith community as we think about stewardship? I have a short video promo that's going to lead us a little bit into what that series is going to look like. And so let's play that video. I invite you to participate. Be present over these next few weeks as we explore the meaning of stewardship for this congregation here at Pacific Beach United Methodist Church. Amen.